If you have your Bible, if you would open it to Daniel 1, that would be great. If you don't have a Bible, we have some on the back table. Please borrow one. If you truly don't own a Bible, please borrow one and keep one. And I hope you have been reading ahead. If you were here last week, we did the introduction for Daniel, in which I never actually opened the book of Daniel, because I really wanted to set the stage as to what took place, why we were coming to this point that there would be a captivity of the northern or the southern kingdom of Judah. And with that, I made a plea that you would become a student in the Word, especially in the study, because it'll give you such a big snapshot of a large piece of the Old Testament that enriches the New Testament so much. I had asked you if you wanted to get notes to sign up on a sheet out there, and I'll email them to you. In addition to the sermon notes, I'll send you some maps and charts each week that have things that we're working on to help your studies if indeed you do want to be one of those who kind of geeks out on the book of Daniel. That's my hope. I love this stuff, by the way. I get so excited. As I thought about teaching Daniel for the last couple months, I got to tell you, I was just joyful every time I would think about it. There is so much in this book. There is so much that pertains to us. There is so much prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled that Daniel addresses regarding the time that you and I live in. So for me, that's really exciting. And Daniel's got in his backpack of all of his experience all these prophecies that have already been fulfilled, which means since they've already been fulfilled over, as I told you, 135 in verses 1 through 35 of chapter 9 alone, then we know that the prophecies he has for our time are going to come true too. When you got that kind of a track record, you can say, man, he was right on every prophecy pertaining to the past. He will be right about these too. But today we're not going to deal with prophecy. Today we're going to come into the part to deal with the character and the nature of who this guy Daniel was. Why could God use him? Why would God choose this man to give so much to for you and I and for all the church and for the nation of Israel, both in the northern and the southern kingdom? Why would he use this man? Or maybe the question, why could he use this man? It's so important, and you and I need to gain that part, because I know that many of us also have a desire to impact maybe smaller groups of people, like our family, our friends. Or maybe you have a bigger evangelistic heart or some ministry that you're reaching out to and you want to be used by God. We look at the life of Daniel and we say, what was so dynamic about Daniel that God said, that's a man I can pour all this out through. I can trust his heart. And so we're going to learn that. But before we do, we're going to geek out on a little bit of history, because you got to know what's going on. I will tell you that I think most people, when they read the Bible, they skim read. You know what I'm talking about. They pick the parts that just stand out. And they go, oh, that really stands out. Well, that's history. I will pass that part because I don't want to learn the history. Folks, when you have the understanding of the history and then you place these events inside of that framework, what you have is depth. You start to understand the nature of God. We've talked about this before too. If I go into the Old Testament and I read a story of God's judgment and I don't have the history, the logical conclusion is that God is a mean, angry God looking to squish people. But if I have the history, what I learn is that he is a long-suffering, patient God who wishes that none would perish, but all would come to repentance, and he gives them time and prophets and everything he can to keep leading them back to a place of repentance so they could be restored with him. History gives that to me. How many people have parts of the Bible incorrect or only are skimming the surface, what we call the milk of the word? Many, because they don't want to do the work that it takes, which is fun work, by the way. I get elated. Maybe I'm just strange. And I start reading. I go, oh my gosh, this and that pertains to this. And if I look in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, they tell the same story. And Jeremiah is talking about that. And Ezekiel is prophesying about that. And I just get so excited. I hope you get excited. There's a lot in there for us. This is not just the story of old dead guys. Their accounts impact our lives if we will let them, if we desire for them to do that. But if we do not, they will not. And you will miss so much richness that is given to us. So with that, let's just jump in and see how much you gain. And again, the notes are available afterwards if you want them. We can get them to you. So if there's a lot of dates, there's going to be a few here and there. And you go, okay, I'm trying to write all this down. My pencil broke. I don't know what to do. We'll give them to you in printed copy. And you can find it in all other sources too. A little history. Remembering that in last week's study, we discovered that the kingdom of Israel, which was once a singular kingdom under David's rule in particular, and then Solomon, was then divided in two parts in 931 BC. Sin had entered the kingdom. Solomon had done some things that he shouldn't have done, and the kingdom was divided. What we then remember is that in 722 BC, so more than 200 years later, what's going to happen is that northern kingdom of Israel, they had only wicked kings, 20 of them in its succession, that worshipped other gods, that gave their children over to the fire. And we talked about that last week. Go back and listen. And did all kinds of immoral things. In 722, God sends in the Assyrians, who are the dominant world power at that time. The Assyrians come in and they take all of the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity and take them back to Assyria in the north. And the north is important. That's going to have some bearing on our story today. And that is a big piece. So from this point out, as we're talking about Daniel or any of the other prophets who are prophesying past that period, they're all prophesying to which kingdom? The southern kingdom of Judah. Because it's still in the land. It had about a 50-50 ratio of good kings and bad kings. Revival and a return to debauchery. Revival and a return to debauchery. And so God pleaded with them longer. So when we're talking about Daniel here, he's dealing with the northern or the southern kingdom, which is Judah, who are still in the land. Northern kingdom out, 722. Northern kingdom Israel out, 722. Southern kingdom Judah still in the land. And that's where Daniel is prophesying. That's who he's prophesying to. There were three dominant powers at this time in the world. Assyria, Egypt, and the new kid on the block, Babylon. In 626, when Assyria is the reigning world power at the time, the Babylonians come into play and they declare their independence from Assyria. Very important, Assyria, that kingdom that took the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity. The Babylonians come in and they say, nope, we are going to be independent of you. You will no longer have rule over us. Now, Egypt, under Pharaoh Necho, and the Assyrians become allied to fight against these Babylonians. So you got it, Egypt, Assyria, on the team together to fight this new kid on the block, the Babylonians, who are gaining in strength and power. And this is where we come back to the southern kingdom of Judah and where it fits into this story. Josiah, we talked about Josiah, one of the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a good king. And I've referred to him much, especially last week, and you'll hear of him a few times this week also. Josiah sees these Egyptians coming. Now, the Egyptians are in the south. The Assyrians are in the north. The only way for those two entities to battle each other is to travel through one sliver of land. What sliver of land is that? Israel. They've got to go through that, through both what used to be the northern kingdom of Israel, and still is the southern kingdom of Judah. So the Egyptians are coming up now, and they're going to go with the Assyrians against the Babylonians, who are also in the north. And they've got to go through Judah. Josiah sees them. He sees these Egyptians. And he says, oh man, they're coming to war against me. Pharaoh Necho, the Egyptian, says, no, I'm not. Don't come out to battle against me. Don't do it. Josiah does not listen. He goes out to battle against Pharaoh Necho and he is killed. It's a tragic story. He took on a battle that wasn't his and he died. There's a lesson in that for you and I. A little lesson right off the top. Some battles are not yours and mine to fight. They might draw